first, let me just say I'm always honored to get this opportunity to share with listeners on WKMS, and would encourage listeners to continue to support this great entity that we call public radio as a student, former student of the sport. So as we speak have this conversation, Tracy, regarding our reopening plan amidst all things COVID, the operative word continues to be fluid, evolving, and thus the need to have a varying set of contingency plans. So as we speak, we are using a three-pronged approach, which would include face-to-face, a hybrid, or virtual. Face-to-face, of course, is physically assemble a certain percentage of students. The hybrid is where we'll have a certain number of students, you know, physically on campus for a couple of days a week, virtually rotate. And, you know, if, you know, things intensify, if you will, in the fall, and there's a need to go virtual, we are prepared to go all three. So format-wise, I think that's a real important lead-in for listeners. But first and foremost, what precedes all of that is the perceptions of, is it safe to come back? What does that look like? We know that we can't guarantee safety, but certainly we can guarantee our intentional efforts to have the college as safe as possible. Our efforts are guided by the Kentucky Healthy at Works plan. This comes from, you know, from the state level all the way through, you know, to the colleges, right, through CP, et cetera. And so we have a Healthy at WKCTC welcome plan, which does itemize and details the specific intentional steps that we're taking. And we'll certainly, you know, have a copy to, you could put on the website as needed. So the core within that plan, though, is really three key areas that we've identified that are just absolutely necessary when we talk about that we're all in this together. We really are. It's not a cliche. It's true. Means it's going to take a collaborative effort to emphasize three things. We want students and the general public, faculty and staff, to wear masks. We know that we can't say it's mandatory, but it's strongly required as a key step because of the benefits of wearing masks. The second is social distancing. So we've been very meticulous, as many colleges and universities are, you know, really ensuring that we have clear signage where we have made those measurements to operate 6 feet or further apart, which certainly has an impact in terms of capacity, but that's a very important safety piece. And then certainly third, we recognize that, particularly as we get into August, there are so many buildings and so many entry points. And so it's going to be important that as part of our, if you will, protocols before each class, before each session, that the faculty members in the classroom or the staff members working with students and advising would ask students to assist us in wiping down their areas to help promote cleanliness, along with our scheduled, you know, cleanings early in the morning and in the evening. So we believe that the consistency of having those three are very important to go along with the three-prong approach that we are doing as we speak in planning for the fall semester.
So as of now, in late July, you're going to want to go in person. That would be your primary goal. But do you have certain deadlines for changing that and saying it's going to be part online, part in person, or we're going to go virtual only? Do you have any self-imposed deadlines, or is this so fluid you could go to, what, within a week or two of classes beginning?
So, A, that's a real good question. B, because of the fluid nature, each week as we get closer, and again, a lot of it is the guidance from what's happening at the state level. You know, we were progressing in terms of capacity numbers, et cetera. That's been scaled back as we speak. So I would say that we still basically are ready to be to modify, adapt, and adjust. But certainly, as we get, you know, a week or so out, obviously we'll have to have something more definitive. That is why I think that the three-prong approach is probably the safest, because it gives us some flexibility. And if we get a large surge of students, you know, who come in person, and, you know, we can make the necessary adjustments by communicating with those students. Here's what's happening by way of directives. and then we make the necessary adjustments like we did in the spring.
If in-person classes are actually feasible, what kind of precautions were you thinking about as far as how many students can be in a classroom? How far away do the desks have to be? Are some classes going to have to be split and some go Monday, Wednesday, others Tuesday, Thursday? And I would like to know what faculty members, their input has been on this.
Absolutely. So the social distancing guidelines within itself is the first top defining criteria. So that within itself gives us the capacity and the spacing and configuration, right? Because as you mentioned, you know, for pedagogy, people may have different preferences. However, it still has to fall within that 6 foot guideline. So that's the first. Second, the hybrid model, having some students come, I think it's like A through H alphabetically would come Monday, Wednesdays, L through Z would come Tuesday, Thursdays, are also ways of being able to handle not having that many in person. And third, all along the way throughout the summer, as part of our planning, through our academic councils, we have some our replanning committee. We just had a call faculty staff meeting last week. So faculty are and staff are continuously engaged in this process.
As a higher education administrator, would a federal mask mandate make it easier for you to run an institution of higher education during a pandemic?
Yes, it would certainly promote consistency across campuses. And again, the nature of all things COVID has just evolved so much, right? I think at the very front end of the process, there was a school of thought that the mask wasn't necessary. Then, you know, we've learned some more obviously since then, and we can learn some more, you know, even heading in after the fall. So, but as a general rule, and that is why it's one of our three requirements, we do believe that students, faculty, staff, and general public, the consistency to me is really twofold. It is good for safety. I think from optics, you know, perception is people's reality. It would seem counterproductive for us to not have or encourage requiring masks, and it's basically just an open campus. That would not be good stewardship. That would not be good leadership from my perspective. So it's really all about, I want the focus to be on the teaching and learning environment and the great things that we do, you know, within these square circles, if you will, more so than a debate, what to wear, not to wear. And so I do believe that the mask in along with the social distancing, along with the frequent cleanings, right? So I see it as a trifecta, would at best minimize the frequency of transmission and washing hands, those sort of things.
Post-vaccine, what are some things that higher education institutions are going to be able to carry forward that you've either had to learn or wanted to learn during this pandemic? A change maybe to the way business is done, any kind of change in approach that might prove beneficial in the long run?
Well, certainly through COVID, it has elevated I believe about a quarter of our students traditionally are online as a norm. So clearly through COVID, we went from that 20-something percent to 100. So we certainly learned that the delivery method, you can achieve, obviously, you know, doing the teaching and learning to a certain extent, right? Because when you get into certain labs, that type of thing, the more hands-on, you still got to figure out how to do those. So I think we definitely learned about the whole virtual piece. I think second, a big learning piece for me as president, and gosh, even as a former communications guy, how complex and how necessary it is to have timely, frequent communication. We start off actually with daily updates during COVID-19. We shifted to weekly as things started to level out. And as we head into the spring, you know, we'll have to modify, adapt, and adjust accordingly. So it is important that certainly all of the WKCTC team, as in terms of campus, the campus family, and all related community partners and general public, that they hear fairly regularly what sort of measures are being put into place, that we are responsive, if they have any concerns, you know, who to contact, engaging what those needs are. I think the third thing many of us, in terms of my colleagues really across the country, because I've been on several webinars, including today, we learned a lot that COVID-19 also revealed the gap regarding access to things like Wi-Fi, students in our rural areas, and the disproportionate impact that it has on some diverse and underrepresented groups. And so that has certainly heightened our level of awareness as well, too, of the importance and the complexities of reaching all of our clientele and their needs.